and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas, with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station. Talking, as always, with Jennifer Staton. And Jennifer...
Wait, those were my lines.
I know.
What's going on?
Well, in an episode a while back, we talked about flipped classrooms, and I said, jokingly, we should flip our roles in one episode, and I think this is the episode.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
What I wanted us to think about was rest, contemplation, slowing down, and deep thinking. And, you know, in this society, especially with the internet and the way we can communicate with each other with our personal devices, we communicate so fast and we do things so quickly, we don't slow down enough. And the reason why this is perfect for us is because you just took a mini kind of sabbatical. You were away for a couple weeks.
I did. I took 3 weeks off.
That is so decadent. If I did that,
well,
I don't know what
would happen. An interesting point, which may be for another episode, but is it decadent to take that much time off to rest, or is that necessary?
I'm joking. It's actually necessary. And so, but presidents of universities and other things
especially
should probably take it more.
Especially for presidents of universities.
But so tell us about... I mean, you don't have to tell us that you woke up and you're in your little wool slippers or whatever. But I mean, what happened and how do you feel coming back to KUT now?
Well, it was really interesting, Ed, because I felt great. I mean, just from a sleep perspective, I was getting a lot more rest than I usually do. I caught up on my rest. But as soon as I came back, it was sort of like it never happened. So it made me think about, is rest cumulative? You know, can you sort of build up a rest bank and then store up that rest for the times when you're not getting enough sleep? I think the answer is no.
Correct.
That's just anecdotal.
That's right.
But pretty much that first morning I was back, it felt like being back in the routine again with the early morning wake up.
It's amazing how quickly that this goes away. It's like getting a massage. It really feels good. And then as you walk out the door, you're like, wait a minute, that was $100 and I feel the same now. But when you're there, it's like, wow.
Right. It's the best ever. And another thing that I noticed that was very interesting, which I think is kind of related, is... noticing about time and the passage of time and the speed and pace of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this is not physically and mathematically true, but I can tell you it feels like that the 5 hours from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. zoom by. I mean, they feel like they're just flying by, but 5 hours at any other time of the day doesn't feel, you know, it feels like 5 hours. And time just felt different.
Well, and you know, students experience the same thing at literally every level, whether it's elementary, middle school, high school, and then, of course, the college students that I see at Southwestern and other schools, quite frankly, where I visit. The truth is, their days speed away. And so, in fact, they're so busy. I'm going to be teaching a course at Southwestern called Effective Thinking and Creative Puzzle Solving. And one of the things we are going to do is we're going to have part of the class be mindful. And so they're going to just have some downtime. It's almost like taking a nap, but it's going to be just a chance to contemplate, a chance to be quiet, a chance to be alone with your thoughts and just calm down. And, you know, a lot of people meditate. More generally, it's like mindfulness. These things help the brain. There have been scientific evidence that shows that, in fact, neurologically, there are differences with human beings who meditate or have quiet, mindful contemplation versus those who don't. Those who do, there's more synapses and more connections made in the brain than, in fact, those who don't.
Well, and it was interesting because the other thing I tried to do in parallel with taking some time off to kind of catch up on rest was to try to set my phone aside much more than possible, not check my emails, not check my Twitter feed nearly as often. And I have to say, and again, this is just anecdotal from my experience, that sort of brought the level of everything just down a little. Because what I notice is on a busy day, if I don't have something to do in that minute, I'm grabbing the phone. What's going on? What am I missing? But
absolutely,
when you set it aside,
Well, you're living in the moment. Mm-hmm. And students today are never living in the moment. They're always living virtually somewhere else. And I see them walking around campus. They're looking down. I recently visited a middle school, 7th and 8th graders who are using my videos. I met about 700 of them. All they had were their phones. I mean, they're just living in that device and they're not living kind of in their heads. I'm not saying that's bad or good, but it's a reality. And we need to think about how education should bring that mindful, restful, deep thinking and deep contemplation as part of what we do in the classroom and beyond as we're lifelong learners.
Well, and another place where I think my time off intersects with this in kind of an interesting way is the idea of sort of achievement and production and creating and always doing something, and how difficult it can be to step back from that and to have a period of time where you're not producing anything, whether it's, you know, actually being at work or whether you're producing something for a class or whether you're sort of engaged and busy. I think our society doesn't give us a lot of latitude to not be doing something.
Well, and you said two things that I found very interesting. There's like a juxtaposition, but they really, I think, go together. You talked about not producing on the one hand and then being creative. And the implication was, well, if I'm not producing, I'm not being creative. And I would argue that what we're talking about here today is the fact that sometimes the way you can be the most creative is to not produce, but think deeply, contemplate, and go deep.
Well, I will tell you, okay, so the deep, dark secret about my time off is...
Ah, now we're going to get
okay, so here comes the dirt.
Lots of pizza.
It's nothing juicy. Oh. Actually, I worked about an hour or so each day from home, just working on projects that I had to have finished in a certain amount
of time. This whole episode is a fraud, ladies and gentlemen.
But I will tell you the interesting thing. Well, it could have been research for this episode. We'll call it research. But I'll tell you the interesting thing that I learned is... So the projects I had to do were all sort of problems that needed solutions or things I had to solve. I think those solutions came more easily when I was in a more rested state and was not in the sort of go, go, go mode and was getting enough sleep and had some time to contemplate. And I came up with some creative, what I think are creative solutions to a couple of conundrums that I hadn't been able to quite figure out.
And so you are living proof of what I'm suggesting for lifelong students, whether you're still in school or whether you're out of school. And that is that by taking that downtime and by being mindful and resting and contemplation, you will get better results. I mean, literally, you'll be more creative.
So that's so counter to what I'm remembering from college. I could never stay up all night.
Neither could I. I never had an all-nighter.
I never had an all-nighter. But I certainly had plenty of friends and classmates who would stay up all night to study for a test or finish a paper. I could never do that. Yeah. But there was certainly sort of this culture of stay up all night, got to cram, got to get it finished.
At Southwestern University, our library is open 24 hours a day. I mean, literally, you can just go in there anytime and do work. And their folks always doing work. I would watch... This is how old I am. I would watch the monologue of Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show and then do my little Johnny. You know, how many of you folks are from out of town? And then watch the monologue and then go to sleep. I wouldn't even stay up for the whole show
because
I need my sleep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, speaking of thinking back to olden days.
Yes.
let's go to the math riddler, which is still which is a math hanger. And I want to know what you think about this. And so let me remind folks. That thing that I left you with, which was a question that really a friend of mine, a colleague from Southwestern University in the education department, posed this riddle to me. I came up with a million solutions. None of them was the one that he was thinking about. And so it got me really annoyed. So I want to annoy all of you. The question was the following. Imagine that you're given a line. It could be like something drawn in the sand or on a piece of paper. You can't touch the line at all. You can't, you know, put sand on top of it and make it shrink, which is what your idea
was.
But the question is, how do you make that line segment shorter without touching it and without, you know, modifying it at all?
Now, I have to say that my time off and my rest and my reflection did not bring me closer to a creative solution to this.
As much as I hoped it did.
Well, everything I think of doesn't fit in the rules. I think of doing something to either end of the line. I can't think of a solution that doesn't break rules.
Well, I love your idea about throwing sand on it, which you kind of hinted at. My idea was to look at it from askew, so it's perspective.
Uh-huh.
Or if it was a piece of paper, see if you could fold it.
Sort of wrinkle it in time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wrinkle it. And he said no to all that. And then here's what he did. Are you ready for the solution? So here is the solution, which is, so imagine that line is drawn somewhere. Underneath it, draw a longer line.
All of a sudden, it makes
the line shorter.
Oh.
So shorter is a comparative thing.
Yes.
So if you draw something else that's longer, then it will be shorter.
That's interesting because I think we all think of it comparatively, but only to itself.
Exactly.
So shorter in relation to what it already was. I love that because that's a creative.
It's a very creative one. And the truth was I was annoyed because I didn't get it. But the truth is that I loved the idea that what is the meaning of something? What does shorter really mean? And so it's a great little puzzle. It's not really much of a math riddler, but it is length, you know, length and so forth.
Well, and you're trying to use your brain. I mean, burn the wheels on that.
So now I'm going to push you a little bit further since I'm probably only going to host on KUT once in my whole life. So this is it. This is my, you know, 10 minutes of fame. Tell us something that was surprising about your 3 weeks off. It could be something silly. It could be something serious. I want something surprising about your time away. It could be about the fact that you had some epiphanies, but it could have been something silly. You found, you know, a mothball where you weren't expecting it or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. So what was surprising about my time off?
Now, I asked you first.
You know, I'm gonna kind of go back to something that I just touched on a little bit, because that honestly is the thing that I found myself most surprised by and adjusting to, is how different the day feels and how different time feels. And I'd look at the clock and go, I've only been awake 12 hours, you know, at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And time just felt like it was passing more slowly, not as quickly, when there wasn't so much going on during the day. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that surprised me. Well, okay, this is also related to what we've been discussing. So when I took work out of my equation, every day was still filled with a lot of things to do.
It's amazing how you'll fill your time.
And what I realized is how many other things, you know, we have going on in our lives besides work. And I thought, this is a really good lesson, because rarely do we have the chance to kind of take stock of time and how much time we're allotting for rest and work and other things. And I thought, this is really good, because now I see all the things I've said yes to and how much time that takes. And I thought, whoa, this is a good kind of wake-up call about
that. That, in fact, is the point of the message from this episode, which is whether you're a teacher in a classroom, whether you're a parent, or whether you are just a lifelong learner or a student, you need to create those spaces of quiet contemplation and encourage yourself or your students to go deeper than you think they could even go. And by taking the time to do that, you will, in fact, learn better. And in fact, you will be more creative. And that's the message. Well, Jennifer, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
And thank you, as always, for keeping our brains sharp. I'm Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Find out more about my amazing institution at southwestern.edu. And of course, keep your brains busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Ed Berger with KUT News.